Hey everyone, welcome to the Film 5D Podcast, episode 11. Back for another one. On the other side of 10 now. Wow. So we gotta start improving, right? That's the whole goal.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna do the rundown real quick, but basically we have a bit of a format change. An official format change. I'll get to that in a second. So first we're just gonna talk about what came out this week, quote of the week. In segment two, we're gonna talk about news and rumors. We got a few news and rumors from Sony and Canon. We're going to play a game of Do You Even Film, Bro? For segment three. Now, usually I did do a tutorial for segment three, but I kind of decided that to not do the tutorials anymore. They're kind of boring for the podcast. I do, because we do this every other week, so I do the tutorials on the off weeks, and I think that makes more sense, or a trailer or whatever. I know you were learning a lot, but, you know, it was a little boring for the people listening. I listen, like, to the podcast just to make sure it's interesting, and that was the part that always made me tune out. So from now, we don't know where that official segment's going to be for today. It's going to be Do You Even Film, Bro? But we'll see in the future. And then your segment four is still locked in for now. We're not going to take that away from you yet until we get, you know, more topics like this, which we're talking about curved TVs today. Super high tech and new that nobody knows about.
Future, yeah. Yeah.
And then we're going to have a fight about a movie, which I will not say yet. And it's kind of been inspired. Have you ever listened to movie fights?
I heard you talk about movie fights, yeah.
So it's kind of not so much a ripoff of that, is that, like, we're literally going to pick a topic. It's going to be a film-related topic, either a movie that came out or a new piece of gear or, you know, a certain idea. And we're going to pick opposite sides of the spectrum. Regardless of how we feel, we're going to pick opposite sides. Like when we did Mac versus PC, we're going to pick the side and we're going to fight to the death. And then we're going to kind of see who wins in the comments. Which people have been leaving comments on the videos to say who won. So
don't tell me anything. I don't want to read that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You don't want to know what they're saying about you. All right. Let's start it off with the quote of the week. And this is the hint for the movie that we're going to be talking about in the final segment. As the world fell, each of us in our own ways were broken. It was hard to tell who was more crazy, me or everyone else.
Is that part of the quote?
No. That was just my soundboard. What movie is that from?
Are we supposed to say now?
Yeah. Do you know what movie that's from? You're supposed to always guess what the quote is from, so... What movie is that from?
Mad Max?
Which one? Isn't there four?
Fury Road.
The new Mad Max. So we're going to be arguing about the new Mad Max in the final segment, which we need to make sure we give ourselves time for. I'm going to go ahead and set a timer, because I always forget. Okay. What came out this week?
Ant-Man last week?
Ant-Man was last week, which I saw. You haven't seen it. We'll talk about that a little bit first. So my big thing with Ant-Man was I thought it was going to flop. And it got $60 million, which can be argued isn't a flop. I don't know how much it cost to make that movie. I feel like it was more than $60 million. I'm sure it's going to make its money back. It's a Marvel movie. I think all of them make their money back these days.
But did it cost that much? Wasn't it the set, like, really tiny?
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff was real. Like, did the micro... the microphotography and all that stuff and all the special effects, and I'm sure it was a pretty expensive movie to make. We'll go ahead and look. This is, they're not going to show the budget, but they might show it on IMDb. But yeah, I got a certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Won the weekend, barely beat out Minions, which didn't get such great reviews. Got 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, so pretty good. It was just one of those movies. It was kind of like a little bit polarizing for a Marvel movie. I mean, the character, like Ant-Man, like, how behind that can you really get, you know? They kind of tied it in well with the rest of the movies, and we can see going forward how he's going to be in Captain America Civil War, or whatever, the third Captain America, where Tony Stark versus, you know, Captain America squaring off and stuff.
What do you think about the casting of Paul Rudd for Ant-Man?
He's always been really funny to me. I remember the first movie I ever saw him in was actually I Love You, Man. Mm-hmm. It was one of those movies, the first time I saw it, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was more funny than The Hangover, but then I watched it the second time, and I realized it actually wasn't as funny as The Hangover, but I think he's funny. I think he's just genuinely funny. So the budget was 130 mil. So far, it's grossed 81. So it's going to beat that, but it's not going to be like 130 mil is pretty big. You know, they have to, that's a lot of ground they got to make up. Made 57 mil opening weekend. I mean, I'm looking at it on IMDb right now. So, yeah, it remains to be seen whether or not that's going to be successful and whether they're going to make a second one. Now, they're going to put the character, he's going to be in the other movies. But will they make another Ant-Man? We'll see.
So, did the movie have, like, a good balance of comedy and seriousness? Because I think, like, what a lot of people initially were kind of worried about is you automatically see Paul Rudd. And I think right now he's kind of pegged as just, like, a funny comedy guy.
They had,
it's like, oh, great, it's going to be a comedy or something.
They had more serious characters in there. Michael Douglas was in there. Evangeline Lilly was in there to play, like, these more kind of, like, serious, jokingly serious roles. The guy from House of Cards, the bald guy, I forget what his name is, but he was the bad guy in it.
So, then, wait, was Ant-Man mostly funny then?
Yes.
Really?
It was one of those movies where it was good, not great, but I have nothing bad to say about it. There's nothing where I was just, like, disgusted when I left the theater, like, oh, my God, why did they do that? Mm-hmm. It was kind of just, like, you know, it was good. So, I didn't think it was going to be bad when I saw the trailers. I just, like, man, this isn't going to make money like Thor or Captain America makes money. And I think I was right. It remains to be seen whether or not how much it's going to make the second, like, the next couple weekends. But,
well, it's like, what's his power? Like, he turns into an ant? Mm-hmm. Oh, great, now I can crush him.
No, it's like that his atoms get so compacted and dense that he becomes more powerful. It's like a bullet versus, like, you know, the surface area or whatever idea. We can piercing versus, like, blunt force. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Can you just use some, like, ant poison or something? Just...
He doesn't actually turn into an ant. He turns into this. It's smaller than an ant, the size of an ant.
What if you like shot a bullet at him?
Oh my god.
Wouldn't the bullet be like huge compared to him?
Oh my goodness. Okay. What came out this week? What's the main one that everybody's been excited about? You've seen a million trailers on TV for
Pixels.
What's it got on Rotten Tomatoes right now?
20%.
I like, when I first saw the trailers, they kind of had this mysterious kind of, like, this alien invasion kind of thing. And then the last trailers, I just knew it was going to be bad. Like, it had people I like in it. Like, I'm not a big fan of Adam Sandler, especially lately. But I do like Michelle Moynihan. I do like Peter Dinklage, which Michelle Moynihan's not even in the top six characters. So maybe she's not even, like, a main character. I don't know. I see her in the trailers, so.
She's the boobs.
Not really.
Not really?
What? No. But Peter Dinklage, like, Kevin James, most people are just tired of.
Isn't he the mall cop guy?
Yes.
Nice.
People are just tired of that, like, fat humor, slapstick kind of stuff. And a lot of the reviews are basically saying, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, how many video games have successfully been made into a movie? Like, I'm really hoping that The Last of Us is going to be the one that breaks the trend, but I'm still worried about that.
That's not a video game, dude.
It's a video game.
Well, what about the World of Warcraft movie? Oh.
We'll see, dude. I don't know. Like,
I think it's going to be dumb.
Oh, there you go.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Wait, what'd you say?
Say what?
What'd you say about the movie?
It's going to be dumb.
Trying out the new soundboard. I don't know how it's picking up well because it's not coming through my computer, but... Anyways, yeah, so not much more to say about that. I think we spent more time on Ant-Man, which is better since it's a movie. So instead of seeing Pixels this weekend or whatever else is coming out, Southpaw, Paper Towns actually looked okay, but it's only getting 60%, which if it got a better review, I was willing to go see it because I don't mind seeing those movies in theaters, but since it didn't get the greatest review, I'm kind of going to wait out.
Dude, what is that? I haven't even seen a trailer for this. Paper Towns?
It's just like one of those teen... It's kind of like, did you see The Fault in Our Stars? It's got the same actor in it.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it. But, everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. I like that movie, but it's that type of, like, new generation, millennial teen movie, I guess.
Mm. Okay. Did you get pregnant or something? Like, do you know?
No. Okay. So let's move on to segment two. What came out... News and rumors. News and rumors. So, not too much happened this week. I have this little image on screen right here of all the new, the alpha cameras next to each other. Notice how they're all the same small size, and everybody can't wait till the A7R comes out later August, in the middle of August.
And that's Sony, right?
Yes.
And we care because.
Because, yeah. So, there's been a rumor. So first of all, everybody knows who's been listening that I pre-ordered the Batis 85mm 1.8, which everybody's raving about. Like, it's this $1,200 lens. It's like very comparable to like these other ones that are $5,000.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. I've never really had a portrait lens that I felt like using. I had a Canon one once, but it wasn't very good. So I'm really excited to use that, and I'm going to be doing a review on that when it comes out. Unfortunately, I didn't get mine. A couple people did in the United States, mostly people in Europe, but apparently I didn't pre-order it early enough because now I got to wait until the middle of August. So it's going to be another month before that review's out. But interestingly enough, Sony, there's been some rumors that they're going to come out with their own 85mm G lens. And the rumor is right now that it's actually going to be a 1.4. Now, 1.4 is technically better than 1.8, but from my experience, you never really want to go below 1.8 on an 85mm anyways, because it's already so telephoto that the background's already so out of focus and smushed anyways. So, like, getting that extra bokeh, or, you know, I guess it's a little bit better for lower light. It's like almost a full stop better. But really, I'm not so sure. And obviously, it's not as ice. It's not going to be as sharp and poppy and all that stuff. It might be a little lighter, though. That'll be the interesting thing. So we'll be keeping track on that. But I have no interest in that lens. It's just something I wanted to throw out there. Something that they've announced for the fourth quarter of this year. So it's October, possibly. And Canon, or not Canon, but I guess AFCon or whatever this company is, Falcon, has announced, and we had a little Canon versus Sony battle, and one of the things I said was that we can use all the Canon lenses, and the A7 R2 is going to be super fast autofocus with the Canon lenses, but the Canons can't actually use the new Sony lenses, all these new FE ones that are coming out, which are obviously much smaller and all that stuff. Well, now there's going to be a new adapter, like you see from speed boosters and stuff like that, that's going to essentially open you up to all those lenses, which for people who want a little bit smaller compact lenses, that's going to be pretty nice.
For Canon to use Sony lenses?
Mm-hmm.
It's done. It's done. You're done, Aaron. Canon wins.
No, it's we'll over. See how they perform. They might not be... See, the whole thing about the combination of the Sony and the Sony is that it's really, really fast autofocus and really small. With the Canon, you've still got a big camera body, and yeah, you can put a little smaller lens on there, but maybe the autofocus won't be as fast. Like, we'll see. And they might have the same issues that Sony has had using Canon lenses until the A7 R2 comes out.
Dude, having slow autofocus is an artistic choice.
No, it's not. It is not an artistic choice. You cannot argue that. Moving on. We're going to play Do You Even Film Bro? You are 15 for 20, which is effectively a 75% C. If you miss more than one, this one, you're going to drop down to a potential D. So the pressure's on. I have 5 questions for you. These are the Fs. We're now to F. By the way, if you have any other idea for film games that we could play, leave them in the comments below. Or send me a tweet on Twitter. All right, first one, featurette. True or false? Feature-length documentary-style film, usually giving behind-the-scenes look.
False.
Right. What is a featurette?
It's not a full feature-length film. It's a featurette, dude. It's like, maybe like a sample of a feature.
So essentially that definition is correct, other than the fact that it's not a feature-length film. They're usually about 25 to 40 minutes, and they are behind-the-scenes documentary-style film. On like a movie or a video game or whatever.
Oh, video game piqued my interest.
Have you seen The Last of Us featurette? It's pretty good. You can get it on Amazon Prime if you have Amazon Prime. All right, film aesthetics. True or false? The examination or study of film as an art form.
Such BS. Like, this one's gonna be 50-50 for me, man. Let me see. What is my gut? Dang.
I need the Jeopardy music.
Yeah.
That one doesn't really work.
I think my initial gut feeling was false, so I'm just gonna throw false. Whatever.
That is absolutely true.
Gosh! Dang it, Aaron!
Literally, word for word definition, the examination of study as a film is an art form. Film
dang
aesthetics.
It. Wait, I one think for I two. Was. Dude. Oh, shit.
All right. FX. F/X. Known commonly as a shorthand for special effects nowadays, it was initially used as a reference to mise-en-scène.
What?
Used in reference for mise-en-scène.
What?
Before they had like computer effects, FX actually meant mise-en-scène, like what was in the frame, which you know what mise-en-scène is.
Why are you telling me this like it's true?
What's the answer? True or false?
True.
False.
Dude, that's not fair, Aaron.
You got two wrong.
I was going to say false until you started, like, kept going, man. That's not part of the question. This is, no, I don't accept that.
Oh, what's wrong?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to tell everybody why you're so upset?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, that was dirty, dude. That was dirty.
FX is that clearly always been about special effects. It's not about
mise-en-scène. Why would you lie to me, Aaron?
That's the whole point.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Foley. Post-production sound dubbing for audio, like voice, that was ruined during production. True or false?
Oh my gosh. Why'd you have to add that voice part in there? Like, I know, okay, I know Foley is like...
I made these harder this week, ladies and gentlemen. He's now 2 for 3, he's got 2 more to go. He's 1 for 3, actually, sorry.
So I know Foley is definitely like, I don't know, you're walking or like the clinging of your, I don't know, spats or something. But I feel like voice specifically would be like a voiceover or something. So I think that's the part that makes it false, so I'm going to say false.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is not, so the words that were incorrect were, I said... post-production sound dubbing. Dubbing refers to literally replace, and then also I said that was ruined during production. So that's usually like when someone says a line and like a plane flew over or whatever, they have to redub that in post, which normally you only want to do about 30% of the time. You want to like redub people. Usually you want the actual, like what they were saying on set, and you want to get the best audio possible. So that everything happens. Like it might be a bad, rainy, thundery day, like, and you might, you know, not be able to get exactly what you want. So you need to redub it. Which we've done an episode on, if you want to search for that. So you're 2 for 2. Final one. This is a multiple choice. A flop. Which of these movies, or all of them, was a flop? Waterworld, John Carter, Cutthroat Island, 47 Ronin, or E, all of the above?
I'm going to say E, because I don't even know what most of those movies are.
47 Ronin? You didn't...
I've heard of that, but I'm assuming maybe it became a cult classic later, and initially it wasn't received that well.
So it's actually on the top of the list. 47 Ronin is... So E is correct. All of these were flops. I'm going to tell a little bit of story about each of them. You can see right here that it had an actual production budget of 225 mil, but it lost 150 million.
Wait, which one's 47 Ronin?
That's the one with Neo.
Oh, yeah. I watched that movie.
I never saw it. I never really had an interest in it. I was like...
Oh, dude. Some parts are really cool, but I hate the special effects. It's ridiculous.
John Carter's another one of the Disney ones that was recently notoriously flopped. Most of these were new, but I put Cutthroat Island in here. Did you ever hear about this movie? It's the most ridiculous pirate movie you've ever seen. Is it on this list? It actually ended the career of the main female actress who was in... She wasn't in Bonnie and Clyde, but she was in like kind of a Bonnie and Clyde spinoff.
Yeah.
Gina Davis. She was like the next female star in the early 90s, between like the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
She's like beautiful and like everybody liked her. And this movie literally ended her career. Like, I think it came out in 1995. It was a romantic comedy action adventure film. That's all you need to know. And it was like, think Pirates of the Caribbean. And it was essentially themed off the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And like, so this was like a big kind of roadblock for the actual, you know, Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean coming out. Because after they made this and it failed so badly, same with Waterworld, same kind of like period piece.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you've ever seen Waterworld, it's actually not bad. Cutthroat Island is unwatchable, but Waterworld's not horrible. It's definitely watchable. It just flopped. So yes, so you got 3 out of 5 correct, which gives you a grand total of 18 for 25, which if I do my quick math off the top of my computer.
Ask Siri, dude.
I'm not going to ask Siri. You are still at a low C. Still doing good. Passing. Pretty good for not going to film school. So there you go.
Dude.
All right. We have plenty of time for our final argument. So you get 10 minutes for your segment on curved TVs. What's going on with those? Because I want to buy one. I'm actually looking at one. I'm going to pull up the one I was looking at, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I came up with this idea to talk about curved TVs because you had mentioned you wanted to buy a curved TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, just being an outsider, whatever, looking at the curved TV, I was like, you know, like, is it really worth it? Like, why would you want to get a curved TV? And I didn't do, well, I looked up, you know, some information online and came up with some pros and cons. It was interesting. I think they were pretty straightforward, but I definitely think you should probably think about these things before you buy the
car. Well, unless one of the cons is price, then I'm kind of like, because like, it's like, what would I rather have? Would I rather have, here's the bonus features you talk about. Smart TV. Don't need one of those. Everybody's got a PlayStation or whatever. 3D TV. Nobody needs those. 3D is horrible. Curved TV. That seems like a bonus, like kind of, what the heck happened back here? Whatever. It's like a bonus feature that you get. And that one seems like, If that's going to be my bonus of the three, I'd rather have that one than the other two. I can always get one without any of those, but, you know.
Yeah.
Always got to get a little bit souped up.
I did see the cost listed as a con, but I'm not going to be looking at it here because, I mean, whatever. Yeah. It's obvious that it might cost a little bit more money. I'm just talking about whether or not you want to get a curved TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so, firstly, some of the cons I have here would be immersion and the enhanced depth.
Immersion is a con?
No. I meant pro.
Okay. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because that's like the whole thing. No. Wait, so you said immersion in what?
The enhanced depth.
Okay.
Because it gives you kind of the illusion that, you know, it's not, you're not just looking at a 2D image, you know, just the flat square. It's actually, it looks like it's kind of popping out.
So. The weird thing is I've never actually seen one in person. I don't go to Best Buy a lot. Like, I don't go see them. So I've never actually experienced, you know, what it looks like. But I know 3D, like the newer 3D TVs, it actually, they don't pop out anymore. They just kind of looks like you're looking through a window.
Mm, yeah.
So like, it gives you a sense of depth. So you're talking about the same kind of illusion that your brain kind of plays a trick on you.
Yeah. I mean, it might not be extremely dramatic, but definitely it's a different experience than looking at a 2D, you know, 2D TV.
Yeah, which isn't even on right now. There goes our logo, our beautiful logo that was behind us.
And you know, this wouldn't be happening if you had a curved TV.
I'm so sad. I need to buy a curved TV.
Mm-hmm. Another pro I read was that there's like a wider field of view because there's kind of more surface area because it's a curved thing instead of just flat.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you like a, like you can imagine like eyes on the side of your head thing just being covered by the image in this curved TV.
Yeah.
And also, I have here as a pro a wider viewing angle. I know the TV is curved, and in some aspects it does give you a lower viewing angle, because I'll go over that later. But what I read is, you know, like, for instance, if you're looking at a screen and a TV, and then you kind of go, and after, like, a certain point, the color kind of gets messed up, like, you know, it just doesn't look good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The curvature of the TV kind of eliminates that issue, apparently.
Hmm.
So, like, actually looking at the pixels and stuff, you have a wider viewing angle from there. But, yeah, I'll go with the con.
Well, we talked a little bit, like, what would a curved sensor do? You know, it was rumored the A7R2 was going to have a curved sensor for, like, a little bit. And we talked about that, how, like, all of a sudden the edges would be sharper. So, if you're looking, obviously your eyes have, like, a depth of field just like a camera does. So, like, technically the corners will be more in focus as the center than if you were looking. But I feel like it's such a minimal thing that it's, like, almost...
Yeah, you know, that point, I did read that as a pro too, but I just decided to leave that off there because it's a little bit debatable. Like, they say, oh yeah, it focuses the light or whatever, but like, for something like that, you need to be like right in the center of the TV to really take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And they were saying from their personal experience, they weren't really, it was such a little difference, like they couldn't really say whether or not it was an actual pro for the curved TV.
So, I mean, like this TV I got on my screen right now was recommended by one of the people I follow on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
55-inch, 4K, smart LED TV. It's not an OLED, but it is curved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a lot for $1,300. I mean, that's like basically every feature you can get, and it's like the right size, like 55. Like, I think that's nice. It's not OLED. I don't know if they actually make OLED 4K TVs yet. I'm sure they do, but probably not the curved ones, or they're really, really expensive. Because OLED is like the best currently available for actual display. LED is still nice and thin and stuff, but this one's like, you know, pretty good for the price, I would say. Mm-hmm. 65 inch is ridiculously expensive. So what about viewing distance?
I didn't read any data in regards to the exact viewing distance. Like, I think they kind of designed it with the same... Like, they did some calculations based on, you know, the average family or whatever watching TVs, and they designed the curve and everything like that based on that distance. But I don't know off the top of my head what is the average distance they consider for a family watching TV in a living room.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, the other thing I was wondering is it good for a family? Like, I feel like this is more like of a bachelor pad, like you play video games in your nice gaming chair, like kind of TV where you're immersing yourself and you got your headphones on and everything. Like, is this for like family viewing?
Yeah, I think that'll kind of segue us into the cons. It does have like more of a limited viewing angle, especially if you're looking to actually get the benefits of the curve. Like, you kind of need to be, you know, a little bit directly in front of the TV. So depending on how your room is set up, like with your family and stuff, it might not be the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, the TV magically turned back on. So this is why I need a new TV. You see what we're experiencing right now, exactly why.
He's getting jealous, that's why.
Okay, go ahead and keep saying the cons.
Oh, okay, but yeah. Yeah. So going off what you're saying, yeah, definitely I do see it being much more beneficial to like a man cave or something, maybe a sole person utilizing it.
Yeah.
Definitely it wouldn't be that bad for multiple people using it, but obviously best experience, you're just straight center, dead on, whatever. So that was the viewing angle and the sweet spot. Also, I read that you said you were looking at the 55-inch one.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying the specific people who are reviewing the Curve TV in a specific website, then their experience, they're saying the 55-inch TVs, the difference between the Curve TV and the normal TV wasn't that extreme.
Hmm.
And they said the difference really came into play once the screen got bigger, like 65 and 70 inches.
Well, that's the same kind of thing with 4K. It's like I see these 4K 40-inch TVs out there, but trust me from experience, like this is essentially almost a 4K monitor. It depends how close you're sitting to it. And if you only have a 40-inch, you're going to be sitting far enough away where you wouldn't see the pixels if it was 1080p or 4K. Now, if you have like a 60-inch TV, then you're going to see the pixels. So then it's worth getting a 4K TV. So I see all these 4K TVs, like the whole marketing word is UHD. Like, oh, get this TV. And it's like 30 inches. And it's like, what? It's like, that better be a computer monitor that you're sitting 1 foot away from, you know? Like, that's, so I guess that's what you're saying with the curve thing. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's diminishing returns unless you're above a certain mark.
Yeah. And the last con is that it's not really nice to mount on the wall.
Hmm.
Like the whole thing with flat TVs, you know, it looks all nice and cool. You put it on the TV and it looks all nice.
Yeah. As you can see, mine's in the corner, so it doesn't necessarily matter for me, but yeah.
For people with setups who want like the TV up on the wall, the curved TV is going to look a little wonky because it just comes off the wall.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think really... depending on, or the answer to the question, should I get a curved TV, is do you think it looks cool and does it work for your current setup?
Mm.
If it does, you might as well. You could if you want.
Yeah, I think if I had a choice, I thought that one that I had pulled up, my computer's just being a, you know what, I'm pulling this up for the next segment. If I had a choice between curved and OLED, like I said, that one, it was an LED smart TV curved display. But if I can get none of that and an OLED 4K display, like same price, same inches, I would get that instead. So it's all about like my priorities. Like that's just like an extra feature that would be nice if, you know. But now that you're saying that it only matters if it's a certain amount of inches, then whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it does make a little bit of a difference, but they were saying the difference is much more worth it the bigger you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, well, we got 30 minutes. I say we move on to the final segment. We need plenty of time to duke this one out, I would say. So behind us we have, it's a little blown out, but we have a Mad Max poster.
Looks like a beach or something.
Which I almost bought this poster, but I could not find it. We ended up, as you can see, we bought the V for Vendetta and the Jaws. I really love this V for Vendetta poster, but the Jaws one I'm not so excited about, so the Mad Max one, I would love, not particularly this one, but with the, it says "What a Lovely Day" on it, and I just thought it was so cool. But let's talk about Mad Max. The poster's awesome. The fucking movie, beep that, the movie sucks. Do you have anything to say to me?
Yeah, the movie sucks not, because it was good.
You thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
You better come at me with some heat, because we're going to fight about this. Tell me why I should care about any of these characters. Let's just start off with the easiest one.
Okay. So, I can see, like, somebody watching the movie, there's not a whole lot of dialogue. Like, you know, you just watch this, there's a ton of action.
Not a whole lot of dialogue. The understatement of this podcast. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think that in part is part of the beauty of the movie. Because even though there's not a lot of dialogue, sometimes movies can get bloated with dialogue. I think this movie, especially for an action movie, kind of hits it on the head with the dialogue. In regards to, yeah, there's not a lot, but there's still a lot of character development through...
There's a lot of staring at each other longingly. And, like, you gotta read longingly. The eyes. You gotta
longingly.
Read the
eyes. Longingly? What do you mean by that, longingly?
What do you mean, what do I mean by that? Yeah. So the character development doesn't come through dialogue, which is usually what happens. Usually you hear a character's backstory or whatever, and then you see what they go through, and then you see what they think at the end of the movie. That's character development. There's the arc. But how can you get that if they're not actually talking? They're just staring at each other the whole time.
They're not just staring, they're interacting with each other, and they're dealing with, like, complex situations. Like, is it okay for spoilers to this?
Oh, this is this is a full spoiler fight review of okay. Mad Max. It's been out for 3 months. If you haven't seen it, shame on you. We all told you to go see it in theaters. Colton saw it twice.
Yes.
But since I hated it, I saw it once.
Yeah, so warning, there's going to be spoilers. But it's... You know, if you don't really pay attention to the movie, then yeah, I guess it can seem kind of shallow. But once you really stop to think about it, you know, like, for instance, when Max is first interacting with Furiosa or whatever, he immediately just grabs one of the girls, or, you know, he kind of points a gun at him. He's basically holding them up. And you kind of think, like, oh, wait, like, you know, at that point in the movie, you might be thinking, oh, but she's cool. Like, she's not mm-hmm. a bad guy, you know, mm-hmm. like, what is he doing? But, you know, when you actually stop to think about his situation, what he's been through, you know, he's kind of been captive by these people. He doesn't know that they're, you know, actually basically kind of, you know, the friend of his, the enemy of his enemy, you know, his friend type of thing. He's just there trying to survive. And so through interactions like that, you know, you see them kind of throughout the movie, they kind of start trusting each other more, especially those two powerful stoic characters, you know, Mad Max and Furiosa. How they start working together and stuff, that type of character development doesn't even need that much dialogue, just through their action and how they treat each other and how they trust each other and how they deal with certain situations, you know, trying to kill people, trying to protect themselves, kind of, you know, lets you know, kind of gives you some insight into what's going on in their mind without having to just be like, oh, I trust you now.
Sure, but, okay, fine, we'll get back on that later. Where the F is Tom Hardy? Isn't he the star of the movie? Isn't it called Mad Max? And isn't he the character on the poster? Not Charlize Theron. Why is this movie so feminist? Why is she the main character and not him?
That is true. I have seen some people complaining about that. Some people are like, oh, I was tricked into seeing this movie. Like, what is this? Like... And yeah, it is called Mad Max, and it does.
And it's not because it's a bad actor playing Mad Max. Like, we all know that he's great. Mm-hmm. So, like, why isn't he getting his little quips and lines in? Like, why is he just kind of like, blah, 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 you know?
He's even got another role with a mask, man. Like, he's dominating.
Yeah.
That
was funny, like a little Bane reference with him in the mask and the thing. I hated that part. I hated every part of this movie, but that part in particular.
Well, the thing is.
Where's Tom Hardy? Tell me.
He's in the movie, but...
Okay, but come on. It's called Mad Max, and...
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's called Mad Max, but there's not any sort of explicit rule that states it has to be about Mad Max.
The trailer sure made it seem like he was the main character. I remember the first trailer I saw, you barely even saw Charlize Theron was in the movie. And all of a sudden you see the movie, and it's like her freaking movie.
Yeah, I guess, but what makes you feel like he wasn't... Well, okay, I guess she was... Well...
I don't know. Like, he was still part of the movie. Like, it was just, she was kicking a lot of ass. Like, but I think...
It was her story, though. Like, what was his story? His story was that he got captured. He was obviously... We read the quote earlier. As the world fell, each of us, in our own way, were broken. It was hard to tell who was more crazy, me or everyone else. And his story was that he was a cop and that he was, like, a road warrior already. And so that this was technically his world. Where was his character development? Where was, like, his story? Where was he trying to get to? What, did he have a family that was... that died? Was there, you know, whatever. What the story ended up being about was Charlize Theron and, like, how she got, like, kidnapped as a child and, like, she was trying to go back and find her family in her water paradise, which seemed like a, you know, and then by the time that they find out that there is no more water paradise, you don't even feel bad for them because you're kind of like, eh.
Like, that's just because you're heartless, dude. That's
No. It's because the character development leading up to that point wasn't good and strong enough to make me feel bad for the fact that there was no water.
That's your personal opinion.
I felt bad when they turned around to go back when they should have just kept going across the desert until the end.
So, okay, I can definitely see what you're saying. And I think it was a good choice for them to do it like that. Because if you're going to have, like you were just saying, you know, Max, you know, he was a road warrior, whatever, he had a family, blah, blah, blah. If you've never seen any of the other Mad Maxes, you're not going to know any of that information. And you know what that means? If you're going to have him be the main character and do all this stuff, you're going to have a bunch of, like, exposition and kind of, like, you know, catching people up. But since they used Furiosa kind of as the focal point of the movie, it was this character that was fresh to everyone. And, you know, her turmoil, like, kind of like her conflict or something, didn't need a whole lot of explaining. It was all explained in the movie because, yeah, I guess you can say she was kind of like the main character, like it was her story or whatever. But that's what kind of made it interesting. That's what allowed the movie to not have that much dialogue. That's what gave it, like, its pacing and just kept it going forward because we're living her story.
So the problem is, no one's going to argue. The special effects were awesome. A lot of it felt real. Like, I'm sure a lot of that, those stunts were real. I'm sure it was all real props and actual cars and everything and all the makeup. Everything was awesome.
Yeah.
And the action was awesome. But that's all it was. There was no actual plot. You can argue all you want that she was trying to go back to her place, but you really don't even give a shit. Because, like, the character development is done so poorly that by the time that they... realize, like, the what's the climax of the movie, or, like, the bad guy dies, and, like, you don't even care that the bad guy died. Like, yeah, he was bad, and yeah, he had all these women slaves and all this stuff, but you don't care about the women slaves, really. I mean, there's, like, maybe one character that has a little bit of character development, but the one who actually gets run over, you don't give a crap about her. So, you know.
But isn't this, like, an action movie? Like, do you really watch action movies just for the...
But you want it, like, my argument for action movies is that you want to see an action movie that is going to have a lasting impact on you. Yeah, it's got to be fun, and it's got to be explosions and, like, exhilarating, which this movie was exhilarating. But then there was no kind of, like, man, what a world. Like, just sit back and imagine this world for a second. This is a world where basically it's just a war for gas and water. And the world's gone to shit. Everything's desertification. Everything's desert. And everybody's got their old ragged cars and stuff. What a world that is. And you feel the craziness and, like, you feel the madness of Mad Max in action, but you don't feel the struggle. Like, you don't feel for the characters. Like, you're not getting put, like, in this typical movie, you would be put in the shoes of those characters, and then you would feel by the end of the movie, man, what if, like, the world turned into that? What if I was in that situation? You don't feel that because you don't get to connect with the characters on that intimate of a level because there's no dialogue. And then the main character isn't even the main character.
No, I don't think you necessarily need, like, a whole ton of dialogue to connect with the character. I think maybe partially what the problem is because the main character is kind of showcasing this female in a non-traditional role. It's not as easy for, like, people on a whole scale to relate to this character because it's something new. It's something different. Like, it's not, like, super crazy new, but definitely, you know, some people, like we were saying earlier, kind of, like, went into the movie and they were confused, like, what? Like, they're betrayed or something because they weren't used to it because they didn't know how to, like, relate to this, like, super cruel, strong, like, female women, like, oh, you can't shoot, let me take the gun. And it's like, what? Normally dudes can shoot, and the girls, you know, just sit there and do whatever.
So, okay, so my only positive that I wrote down was that I love Charlize Theron.
Yeah, she's
a terrific actress.
Yeah.
She looked super cool with that makeup.
Yeah.
Okay? But she was the main character. Should she have been, should that character with the non-arm, the trying to get to her water paradise, like, doesn't that seem so sappy? Like, is she supposed to be the main character? Is she even worthy of being the main character? Or is she just kind of that cool, like, drive the action forward character that kind of causes conflict with the actual protagonist and then all, goes on, they team up and all that stuff? Isn't she more of a supporting character than the actual main character? Shouldn't Mad Max have been, like, when he basically hijacked their big armored truck? So, remind me, like, what was he attempting to do? Just run away? Like, that's literally his plot line. Like, just run away from the crazy people chasing after him, which essentially are only chasing after him because he's with the, you know, the slave girls.
Yeah, that was part of the movie.
So is that his motivation to save the slave girls? Because it doesn't seem like it.
No, it wasn't initially. And then it became redemption. See, at first, he just wants to get away. And towards the end, he's like, whatever, I'm just going to ride my motorcycle and go whatever. But then, I don't know, he sees that vision or whatever, and he's like, you know what? I'm not going to, like, live for myself or whatever. Like, we're going to be redeemed. And so they go back, and that's why they go back.
But then, okay, fair enough. Yeah. But what does he do at the end of the movie?
He goes off by himself.
Okay, exactly.
Because, dude, he's a cool badass.
I guess
he's deep. Redemption's done, dude.
He kills the guy, saves the girl, gets him back home, gets all the water for everybody, everybody's all happy, and then he just rides off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, okay, wait. And
I feel like this was more it should have been Mad Max, the prologue. Like, this hasn't even been the story of Mad Max yet. Who's the main interesting character of the entire saga, if you've ever seen the Mel Gibson version.
Yeah, possibly, but I think part of the reason that, you know, made this movie interesting and helped kind of build the universe was that it did focus on this character Furiosa, which is kind of like a higher-up or whatever in the, you know, the crazy people society or whatever. Most of the time, the movies were from the point of, like, Mad Max, right? You just kills these people or whatever, and they're doing crazy things. You don't really understand, well, I guess you kind of understand motivation. They just want, like, gas and stuff. But still, that's what makes it interesting. You get to see things happen through this character's eyes. You know, like, the one normally that's just a random bad guy, like, oh, just kill him or whatever. But no, all of a sudden, they turncoat. And they, you know, do all this interesting stuff. They get to use the cool war rig, you know. It's
and thrown, like, in there.
Yeah, and also I just want to back up when you were saying, you know, she's kind of like a sappy character, like, oh, I got the one arm thing. The whole, like, the original thing was kind of, like, over the top. Like, one thing my dad was talking to me about that I thought was kind of funny, you know, in the original thing, like, he had a switch or something to turn on this blower on the engine, which is not how blowers work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can't turn on a blower. It was for dramatic effect. And, like, people knew when you watch the movie, like, you can't do that. But it was cool because you sit there, like, you turn on the blower, you go faster. Like, it's an action movie you watch. You're like, yeah, that guy is cool. So Charlize Theron got to be cool.
Okay. Okay. This is tough. I've said pretty much my piece. My question for you is, we're going to see sequels. I think this movie took everybody by surprise. I think a lot of people either hated it or loved it, but I think critically acclaimed movie for purely its visuals and action. My argument is that I love plot and this movie didn't have one. What do you see in the sequels? Are they going to amend their mistakes and make Mad Max the main character and then make him talk and maybe see some more flashbacks of his family before the end of the world?
Yeah, you know, that is kind of, I feel, maybe a weak point of it. I thought about it for myself in regards to the sequels, and yeah, it is kind of like, so where do you go from here? Like, do you focus on Mad Max, right? Because obviously he's the main character, or, like, does it turn into, oh, he goes to visit some other person and solve somebody's problems?
No. It better not. No, yeah. I don't know where they go from this. Like, I feel like Charlize Theron has to be in again, but she's all set now. Maybe they go across the desert and find out what's on the other side. Like,
Yeah, but I gotta say, I think there is still a lot of potential, because, for instance, I think a lot of people want to see more of his car. You know, the symbolic...
That car?
Yeah. I forgot. I think it's the Pursuit Special or something like that.
I'm pretty sure it was destroyed. It's a badass car.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, come on, like, the initial, you know, the cool thing about Mad Max is he's this cool renegade that just goes out there, you know.
Does he even drive in the movie? I feel like he barely drove in the movie.
Yes, he barely drove. So,
it was always his truck that's obviously not too exciting. I mean, yeah, it's big and, you know, people are committing suicide to try to take it down and all this stuff, but...
Yeah, so, okay, yeah, you can say that it was a weak point of the movie that they're focused so much on Charlize Theron, but, like, for instance, when he goes off by himself and he just kills that guy and everyone, he blows them up, you know, that tank, and he just comes back, like, and bathed in blood. Like, obviously... He's able to kick some butt.
Okay, so why didn't they show that?
Because they're saving it for the sequel. Oh. Now the sequel is going to be really cool.
Oh, yeah. So they were saving it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why develop the character in the first movie when you can do it in a sequel? I don't know why you wouldn't do that in the first one. I'm hoping the sequels will be better. I mean, this movie was horrible, so you can't get much worse. I mean, granted... Terrific visuals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the obviously well-directed George Miller. Everybody's giving him a ton of credit. He's like 70 years old. Everybody's giving him credit. Mm-hmm. But was it really great direction? Like, what did he really have to work with? They weren't really talking very much. They're just like looking at each other longingly, staring at each other's eyes. Like, that's all it was. And remember how we talked about how they got that kind of punchy visual look with the eyes and how they kind of masked out the eyes and stuff? Did you ever kind of hear about that? I know we were talking about that, how you can like enhance somebody's eyes, and they basically masked it one frame at a time. Huh. So that's how they get those cool, sharp-looking eyes, and everything's kind of over-sharpened. It had a cool look. It was a cool atmosphere. I wish I would have known. I wish there was a little bit more backstory on like why the world went like that for the people who didn't see the original Mad Max. So I'm sure there'll be more of that in the next one, but for me, the plot was eh, and that's. Numero uno on my list of things I care about other than terrible acting. Which this did not have terrible acting, but it really didn't have very much acting at all.
I thought the plot was good.
Well, then we will agree to disagree. All right. We're at about 50 minutes. I think we're going to end this one early because our hardware is overheating over there.
Yeah.
So, just for everybody to know, I loved Mad Max. It was my favorite movie. It was the best movie that anybody will see this year. Uh-huh. It was really hard for me to argue against it, but that's kind of what we're going to do. Each week, we're going to pick a side. And sometimes, like, you know, when we have a Mac versus PC argument or something, sometimes we're not going to have to fake it. But I had to fake it for this one. Colton got to argue for it. He's lucky. He got first choice. Next time, I'll get first choice. It was a great, terrific movie. Don't hate me in the comments. I think there's a legitimate concerns from what I've raised, but it's not enough to say that it was terrible. I'm not that hipster to say something's bad or rotten or thumbs down because of that. It was just a good thrill ride in general, and I love Furiosa. I thought that was awesome. They made her the main character. It was a pleasant surprise for me. So now that that's out of the way. Rate, comment, subscribe on iTunes, please. Go look for us on iTunes, Film 5D. We have over 3,000 Twitter followers. We've been hovering. I don't know. We might have a few fake followers that are kind of like deciding whether or not they want to follow us. But shooting out tweets kind of on the daily recently. So that's all good. Follow us on there. Send us an at mention if you have any questions. I always, when somebody sends me a movie, I will review it. I will give you good constructive feedback. It'll be... positive, and it will be negative, but it'll be constructive. So if you want to send me your movies, please do that. Please have them be around 5 minutes. I don't really like watching 20-minute student films. It's just pretty horrible.
You meant like movies people made.
Yes.
I was going to like go and send you a bunch of crap.
Movies. No, I don't need to see your YouTube videos of kittens playing together or whatever. But so we're going to be doing kind of an intro and outro, maybe just an intro for the podcast. Right now we just kind of start it. And I have a friend who can kind of do it for us, but I'm wondering what it should say, like, because I don't know if it should be called the Film in 5D podcast or like what it should be called. But we're souping everything up. We're on episode 11. We got a couple new posters here. TV that barely works. We're going to upgrade this to a curved 4K OLED TV. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to see the curve, you know, on the logo and everything. So making major improvements. I think we got a little bit more set on our format. Let me know if you want to see any tutorials during the weeks between. And what about, I mean, there's a lot of new stuff coming out. Like, I'm going to do a separate review for the 85 1.8 Batis Zeiss when it comes out in August, or it's already out, but when I get it,
yeah,
I'm probably going to take it to the zoo or something and get some good pictures with it.
Dude, let me go to the zoo with you.
Do you have a pass?
I'll get a ticket.
Oh. Yeah, we'll see. I can't be seen with someone with a Canon camera. I might have to let you borrow my little Sony RX 100 Mark III.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Like and comment below on YouTube. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Bye.
Yes.
Whoa, 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 who